Well, as you may know from last week, if you were here last week, that right now going on in the back, of course, is our VBS, Sun River Canyon Adventure with our children and youth. And they are, for the month of July, going through the book of Proverbs and the wisdom of Proverbs. And last week, I mentioned that we also will stay on the same topic and try and talk about some of the same things that they're talking about in the back so that we can all kind of have the same scriptures and ideas going through our mind this week. Last week, we discussed the value of wisdom. And when we speak of wisdom, we mean God's instruction, God's word, God's guidance, not just some sayings from some ancient person throughout history. And the theme of our VBS last week was pitching your tent. And if you happened to go back there or be involved with it in any way, you would know that there was a tent and that they were pitching their tent. And we mentioned how important it is where you pitch your tent. And many of you came to me after the sermon and said that you also have made some mistakes when camping and pitching your tent. You got to put some thought into that and pitch it in a low-lying area, and a storm comes in the middle of the night and you're in trouble. Well, pitching the tent also could be a metaphor for life. Where do you get your instruction from? Where do you get your wisdom from? Where do you get your morals from? Where do you pitch your tent? Do you think for yourself? Do you determine what's right, what's wrong, where to go, how to make all the decisions? Is it science, philosophy? Do you trust wholly our educational system? Where are you going to pitch your tent? For Solomon, last week, Solomon was the center character of the story in our VBS for kids, that God said, one thing that you want, just one thing, and I will grant it to you. And wow, what a question, right? What would you ask for? What would you want? Solomon said that he wanted God's wisdom, God's guidance. He had a big task to do, lead a nation. And he didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for for weaponry, for a huge army. He asked for God to give him wisdom, give him a sense of what to do. Abraham Lincoln said this, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day." This week, our theme is saddle up. Saddle up. And hopefully, I see the sun shining, that we're going to have pony rides today and that the pony will be here. You know, the Bible has much to say about animals. I mean, much to say in the Bible about animals. And especially the book of Proverbs. The writers of Proverbs use animals continually in their illustrations and in their wisdom. Just to name a few, and I just kind of did a very brief look at this, but just to name a few, I mean, you have eagles, vultures, ravens, serpents, lions, roosters, leeches, lambs, goats, sparrows, donkeys, dogs, and there are many other illustrations in the book of Proverbs about animals. You know, ponies, going to be a pony here today, they're pretty clever. They really are. I actually, a long time ago, used to have one. And her name was Taffy. She was dark brown. And you know, we fenced Taffy in and we worked hard, but no matter what I did, Taffy could figure out a way to get out of there. And she always did it in the middle of the night. And so I would go through my neighborhood with my flashlight. It's a wonder that I didn't, you know, end up getting shot by somebody or something happened. But I would be going through my neighbor's yards many a night with a flashlight trying to find Taffy. And we still don't know how she ever got out. Now, most of these Proverbs are written by Solomon, but when we come to the end, we have some written by other people. One, in chapter 30, is someone named Agur, son of Yaka. Agur. It's a proverb of Agur, son of Yaka. Nobody knows or has a clue who Agur is. Nobody has a clue. He's not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. But Agur has quite a bit to say about the wisdom of animals. And especially at the end of the chapter, which I'm going to read, he talks about the wisdom and he gives four examples of animals that we need to follow. Four examples of animals that are small but exceedingly wise. Now, it would not be the four that I would pick. And I would be interested if we had time to see what four you would pick. If you thought of the animal kingdom and animals that are examples of wisdom. But listen to what Agur has to say. Four things on earth are small, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they provide their food in the summer. The rock badgers are a people not mighty, yet they make their homes in the cliffs. The locusts have no king, yet all of them march in rank. The lizard you can take in your hands, yet it is in kings' palaces. Usually when we choose our heroes, our models for life, we think of those men and women who have blazed a path to glory. Heroes of the faith who have done great things, changed the course of history, but not Agur. Not Agur. When he provides models, it seems like he's actually going modeling down for us. Really? Ants? Badgers? Locusts? Lizards? This is who we should model? Why does Agur choose these creatures? Well, there are four of them, and let me just briefly mention these four and the wisdom and the lesson that I think they provide. The ant, Agur says, are a people not strong, yet they provide their food for the summer. You know, here's the thing about an ant. They don't ever seem to take a day off. I mean, have you ever watched them? They don't even take a coffee break, okay? These guys are something else. And you and I might go to a picnic on a nice Saturday or Sunday afternoon and we're relaxing and we're not working. But you know what they're doing while we're grilling those hamburgers and drinking lemonade? They're hauling stuff off a grain at a time. Okay? They're working. They're not relaxing. The wisdom of the ant is not in the fact that he's such a worker. The wisdom of the ant is that he understands what time it is. He understands preparation. He understands what's coming. Now, some people are one-dimensional. They live in the past. All they talk about is the past. They talk about the good old days and the way things used to be, and it should be this way. And others live in the present. They just live for today. No thought or care about tomorrow. Whatever happens, happens. And then there are those who live for the future. Someday I'll get it right. Someday I'll have the right job, enough money. Someday Prince Charming will zoom in and take me away. It's all going to happen in the future. The ant understands time. He's been through winter before, okay? He's been through winter, and he understands the time. He understands that this is summer and that winter is coming. And the icy winds will be blowing across those frozen fields, and there won't be any food. And if he goes out to even try, he'll probably freeze to death. He knows winter's coming. Now, not to be depressing or morbid, but we know in life, I think, most of us know, that there is winter coming at times, not the weather. Not the weather. I'm talking about life and the things that happen in life. One of the things that I have to do is do some counseling for folks that are pre-marriage counseling, and doing a little bit of that this summer. but it's always sort of an awkward day when I have to sit down with them, and they're very excited. They're very young, most of them, and they're very excited about life and the future and the wedding and everything that's out there. And I have to tell them, now, you know, there's going to be problems. Probably, you know, most likely in life, things are going to happen. Hopefully they don't. Hopefully not all the time. But there are a number of things that come at you in life unexpectedly. And, you know, we talk about getting through those things in counseling. Jesus said, know your times. He says, even the sailors go out, right? And they see a red sky in the morning. And he says, you need to know the times you live in. Have oil in your lamp, he tells them another time. Know that the bridegroom is coming and make sure you're prepared. Make sure that the lamp is full of oil. Jesus said, know the times. And much of Proverbs is to the young. That it's importance, the importance, the significance of God's word, of God's way. Even Agur in the beginning of chapter 30 says, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. The ant, the wisdom of the ant is that he knows the time. He's preparing for winter. And prepare yourself. Prepare yourself with God's word, with God's wisdom, with God's instruction, so that when winter comes, even personally, or some would say, as we look around us, as we look at our culture, as we look at our country, and we look at the state of things, some could say winter is upon our nation and our culture. But prepare yourself with God's word. Well, next there's a little fellow called the rock badger. And nobody's really sure what he is. Some translations call him a coney. That's not a hot dog. I know the New York people are thinking of the Coney Islands. But some translations call him a coney. Some think it's a rabbit of some sort. But anyway, for today, the ESV is saying, the rock badger are a people not mighty, yet they make their homes in the cliffs. They don't have any defense mechanisms. They're not big. They're not strong. I doubt that they can put up much of a fight. A vulture, an eagle, a hawk, whatever swoops down on this little rock badger, he doesn't have much of a chance to fight back. But what he does is he makes his home in the rock. He knows the wisdom of the rock badger is that he knows where his security is. He knows where his safety is. And he builds his home in the huge cracks and clefts of the rock. He knows if he goes out there on the plain, if he goes out there, if he strays away from the rock, he's going to be dinner for some wolf or some lion, okay? Can't stray from the rock. He knows where your security is, that in God himself. The psalmist said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. And again, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And Paul in 1 Corinthians says, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The rock badger knows where his security is, where his safety is, that his safety is in the rock, not on his own defenses or from some other direction. All right, so we have next the locust, grasshopper, whatever you prefer. And, you know, the locusts have no king. Yet all of them march in rank. And so this grasshopper, he's not very formidable, is he? I mean, really, if you see him in your kitchen or you see him in your house, you might shriek a little bit. But, you know, it's not really, you might be startled, but you can handle it. One locust, one grasshopper, not a big deal. yet, right? When he joins with other locusts, other grasshoppers, they're unstoppable. It's unbelievable what they do. At the turn of the 20th century, there was a plague of locusts in the plains of the United States, Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas. In less than a week, they did $500 million worth of damage. $500 million worth. Now, they had no king, okay? There's no head locust that's saying, no union rep or somebody or some organizer saying, okay, guys, let's get together. A lot of good cornfields, a lot of stuff out there. And he's not going around gathering them up and say, follow me, okay? That's not what it is. They're together. And with other locusts, they are mighty. They are mighty when they're together. You cannot live the Christian life alone, I believe Agur is saying. You cannot live this life alone. You need other Christians. And today, our kids in VBS are learning about choosing companions. Their verse is, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Probably all have stories of fools that we've partnered up with through our life and the consequences that have resulted from that. And they'll be learning about David, and that David, who was mentioned in our reading this morning about God setting David aside to be a great king, the reason David made it was because of who he chose as his companions. They'll be learning the story of David and Jonathan and that relationship, that companionship. And David's choices for his companions, his mighty men who led his army, his choices for his companions, who he hung around with, determined his success in life. The wisdom of the locust is that you need other believers, and that it's together that things are accomplished and done. And finally, we got some slimy little ugly guy called the lizard. Now, some of you animal lovers will be offended by that, but the lizard you can take in your hands, and yet it is in king's palaces, Agur says. The lizard is not very attractive. Small, slimy, doesn't really have much, I don't think, in the way of ability. I guess he can get some bugs here and there, but it's not someone that you really, want. You don't typically see people out taking their pet lizard for a walk. And yet, the lizard dwells in the presence of the king. Paul said this to the Corinthian Christians. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring together things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Do you ever feel like a lizard? That you're not really much? See, the thing about the lizard is he's dwelling in the king's palace. The lizard understands the grace of God. C.S. Lewis said, there are no ordinary Christians. Every Christian you meet bears the weight of the glory of God. The most ordinary person. The kind that you would bypass, not pay much attention to, maybe even mock. They bear the glory of God. We dare not despise them. The lizard understands that he
dwells in the presence of the King. Amen.